Namaste and welcome to Radio Eka. Eka is a yoga and meditation app from India. And our focus is to help you learn the various yogic tools such as pranayama, yoga nidra, meditations, chanting, and asana. The purpose of this podcast is to understand more about these practices and delve deeper into the history, the philosophy, and the science of yoga. If you want to try the app, you can download it from the iOS or the Android stores and also use the code RADIO to get 1 week free access to the app.
Namaskar. My name is Shruti Deora and I'm the co-host of this podcast by Radio Eka. As part of the COVID well-being series, today we'll talk about how to deal with the fears and anxiety most of us have experienced during these challenging times for ourselves and our near and dear ones. Today, we have with us Saraswati Clare, an award-winning filmmaker and the founder and force behind Yoga Kula, a hut yoga studio in Berkeley, California. A certified Anusara yoga teacher, Saraswati has been practicing and teaching yoga for over 20 years and offers yearly yoga teacher training programs. Her classes weave together the technical precision of alignment-based practice with the great wisdom of yoga philosophy. Saraswati, a very warm welcome to you. It's wonderful to have you join us here for this conversation. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I feel very honored to be invited to talk with you today to talk about one of my favorite subjects.
Great. So let's start. I think it would be an understatement if I say that the world has changed over the last 1 year. People in different parts of the world, you know, have dealt with extreme anxiety at different points in time over the past 18 months. So when you have so much suffering around you, how do you advise us to reconcile with it?
Yes, it's amazing. The whole world, every part of the globe, in it all together, which is kind of, I think, that one of the first times there's this sense. Often there's tragedy happening in one part of the world, but for each one of us, facing such uncertainty and threat, such a threat to our lives. And it was horrifying, you know, for all of us in whichever country you're in to watch the news and see what's happening in your neighborhood, see what's happening to your family and friends and, you know, the uncertainty of just really not knowing about this invisible threat of COVID.
Yes.
So yes, there's a lot to deal with. And for me, when a lot of this was happening at the very beginning, we immediately had to close down our studio for in-person classes. So we were able then to bring everything up online. So for me, we had to really look at what was happening. And I knew that yoga would be really, really helpful for people. So we really encouraged people to come online. And a lot of people have not taken, you know, classes online. So mm-hmm. One of the things we were able to do is to pivot and look at what's going to help other people. And this helped me out of my fear and my stress is looking for what I can do. How can I stay calm? And if I could stay calm and really listening to what's needed and looking for what's the best way and technology to use, you know, how to, and you know, this is really the advice of yogis over time. There's a beautiful story. Thich Nhat Hanh, you know, the Zen, very well-known Zen master, He had talked about, you know, on the refugee boats where they were really full, he said, if one person could remain calm, then that would signal for the rest of us to remain calm. And I always use that as a sense of what each of us could do. If we could stay calm, if we could find a way to not panic, then everybody would be better off. Our family members, our friends, our community. Because everyone has a different level of stress. Some people have had situations in their lives where they've had a lot of trauma. And so it can be very triggering to come into mm-hmm. a situation like this. Or a lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people had a lot of extra stresses, like yourself, having kids at home, being a teacher, plus keeping your job, plus, you know, all the extra responsibilities. So, you know, when there is suffering happening around, you know, yes, it's important. They often say, put the oxygen mask on yourself first. So making sure that you're taking care. Are you, you know, eating well? Are you sleeping well? Are you really nurturing yourself?
Right.
You know, and this you can do, obviously, through the different practices of coming to a yoga class or your own yoga practice. Breathing is essential, which was interesting in this time because this disease was so much about the breath. And so just really learning to honor and listen and tune in to your breath and tune into what your body needs.
So what you're saying is, I mean, that's very interesting. Thank you for that metaphor also. I think what you're saying is we have to go beyond our survival guilt, and it does not make us dispassionate if we are keeping our equanimity, but we can balance it with empathy with everything that's happening. And we have the, you know, dealing with fear and anxiety for well-being of our loved ones. So could you guide us on some practices, you know, that can help us stay positive, keep the faith, keep our calm, as you mentioned, in these times?
Yes. One of my teachers used to say, you know, it's these moments where you get really pushed, you know, to a stressful moment where you get to really understand what the power of practice is. And one of my teachers, he put this quote and he said, when fishermen can't go to sea, they repair their nets. How do you repair your net? You know, you can meditate, you can pray, you can chant, you can do yoga, you can think uplifting thoughts, you can learn something new, you can create something delightful, take care of yourself, take care of others, practice kindness and generosity, remember the compassion of the Lord. And, this is a beloved teacher for mine in India, and Sri Vivek Godbole, and he it was such a great reminder, you know, when we're at home, isolated, quarantined, how can we repair our nets? And for me, that was about coming back to the practice and really taking some time to ground. Often when we're stressed, the mind is very busy. I don't know if you've had that experience.
Right. I think everybody has had, but yes.
Yes. And so it really helps to slow down, particularly the breath. There's something about, you know, when people's, you know, you're in a stressful situation, somebody will take a deep breath. And when you think about that, what that's doing is really just allowing the nervous system to begin to calm.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we can really tune into the breath, and we can do that through our yoga practice as well. And then sometimes when we're super stressed, we can't be still. It feels actually painful to be still because we're feeling so agitated. So that's why movement, especially, you know, the sort of yoga practice, can be really helpful, because your mind gets involved in moving the body, in being more aware of the breath, and it takes you out of the pattern of stress or the pattern of thoughts, or kind of unhooks that, you know, how we can get into that circle of thinking of worst possible scenario. And also becomes everything, you know, really in yoga is just this invitation to become more aware. How are we approaching life today? What's our mindset? Is it a mindset that's helpful, or is it a mindset that's going to create more stress? And so we can turn the channel. I like to think of it, it's like a tuning in. And we have this other expression we use in the system we call is open to grace. And so many of us have had that situation where we're rushing, busy, run up the stairs to yoga class, run into the room, and then start jumping into practice. But if we don't pause and stop and just take a moment, we need to allow for the body to arrive. And so I like to think of this as this daily moment to moment of just allowing yourself for the mind, the body, the breath to all to be aligned, but also tuning into grace or tuning into all that's around us. And that sometimes we just need to listen inside, because the body might be saying, you're really, really super tired today, or you need to talk to a friend today because you're feeling stressed, or you haven't been eating in a way that's balanced. So it's really taking the time to pause and get to know what the body needs. What's the best possible way for me to show up today, particularly in these times where we're all really pushed and really stretched and in uncertain times. So I love the sense of, you know, repairing your net. How do you repair? So we can do yoga practice, we can do our meditation practice, we can do our breathing practices, and they can be simple. It doesn't need to be much. It might be 5 minutes, it might be 10 minutes. Sometimes for me, practices being in nature, of walking in the trees and allowing ourselves to be sense into the energy of the trees or the ocean. Or even, you know, sometimes you'll notice this with friends. Like you might be feeling anxious and then you might start walking with a friend and all of a sudden the stress that you felt just feels released. So there's so many different ways that we can, you know, really recalibrate ourselves. Mm-hmm. I often use the image of, you know, when you've been overusing your computer and you've got too many things up on the desktop, that your computer starts to get hot and it's sort of like it's busy and it's not responding. So sometimes you just have to shut everything down, you know, turn off everything and just allow yourself just to be still and allow the nervous system to calm down. And we teach this style of yoga, restorative practice, mm-hmm. which is, you know, the people who come, I always say to them, you know the secret. The secret is that we actually do want to encourage the body to learn how to relax. Because for many of us in our stressful lives, we're always working at that, you know, fast pace. I mean, it's just amazing how the body just can react. You know, we'll feel that. If we get a sudden fright, you'll feel the way your heart starts to beat, your pulse is beating, mm-hmm. and your muscles start to clench up like to take flight. And sometimes if you've had too much of that, your mind is unsettled. And so the opposite of that is slowing the breath down, beginning to, you know, take time to pause. It's drawing your focus inside, and immediately you start to feel that releasing and softening. One of my friends, she works with young teen girls in a teen girls prison, and she says some of them, it was so hard for them to totally relax because they've been in really difficult situations in their lives, and to relax for them was putting themselves in danger. And so she said, we had to spend so long just helping them understand, you know, how to make themselves safe, how to feel safe in their bodies, how to relax. And in some ways we've all been in that situation where it's hard to relax because you're thinking, you know, what's the next uncertain thing that's going to happen? You know, how do I prepare? How do I make sure that everybody's safe? And so, you know, our nervous system, all of us, I think, you know, we're going to look at this period of time and they'll probably measure the stress effects of this time. You know, globally, everyone's being in this high stress condition. So,
That brings me, thank you for that example. That brings me to a question that, there are people, like you mentioned, teenage girls, prison, or even we look at doctors or people who are in forced labor or people who are undergoing some therapy. So they have fear for their survival on a regular basis, or they are basically undergoing chronic mental stress. Would you know if there are any studies or if there are any examples of the impact of regular yoga for people like those?
Oh yeah, there's many, many different, I can send you a link with, there's so many studies that have been done. Also, when we were making our film, Yoga Woman, and the reason I wanted to create this film is I sort of worried so much about young people and myself, you know, at that age, where we're so worried as a teenager about our body and so stressed about the image, and so much so that it can create these traumas of eating disorders and all kinds of different ways, but also the way in which yoga can help the women, you know, through pre and postnatal, plus dealing with stress, plus dealing with menopause, all the different phases of life. And we went to a research center, actually it was in India, and in Haridwar, thank you. Yes. Just near Rishikesh. And we went to talk to this Dr. Shirley Tellies, who was doing a lot of work to measure the effects of yoga practice. And
very interesting.
Yes, it was fantastic just to see, you know, all the different studies that she's been doing for many, many years about the effects. There's also Dr. Timothy McCall, very well-known writer. He's written a few books. Yoga as Medicine is one of them. And he mentions a number of studies, too, that have been done that are measuring the effect. So it seems to work. And obviously in India, it's been around. These practices have been around. Mm-hmm. You know, the practices of working with energy centers in the body, and also the subtle anatomy, the working with a prana in the body, working with releasing stress and tightness from the body through the breath, through different pranayama practices.
You know, we hear about and we understand the seven chakras, the chakra system of the body. And when our survival is threatened, you know, when our stability in life is threatened, our root chakra or the Muladhara chakra, it goes into overdrive and it gets imbalanced because we are in a very sensitive state of mind and the energy and the prana is not flowing freely. So how do you think we could balance our chakras and get the prana to flow towards our upper chakras like the heart and the crown chakra again?
Yeah. One of the things I like to think about is, you know, when we go up in an airplane or, you know, we've been in a flight, and if you're on that flight to India for many, many hours, you'll notice when you get off the plane that you feel your legs, you know, you feel a little bit seasick, like you feel lightheaded. And sometimes when I fly back to New Zealand, it can take me a few weeks to really fully ground and land. And really, for me, it's an example of when, you know, we feel ungrounded, we feel uprooted. And what I find in my daily practice of yoga is that we all need some grounding. We need to, bring ourselves back to the earth. Like if I get off a flight, one of the things I want to do is, walk in nature, maybe on the beach, or I want to walk where I can put my feet ground and feel the energy of the earth, or even just walking. It really helps to ground. And when we come into the yoga room, these practices we can do is, again, coming back to breath awareness and doing poses which really help us to ground, like a standing poses or our sitting poses or some of our forward bend poses. They can help. It's really about, you know, calming the nervous system and allowing the energy to move freely through the body. And often it's really slow moving, just allowing that. If you've been in a car for a long period of time, you can feel that sort of slightly buzzy head feeling. And it's again, that what we want to do is just ground and quiet. It's like quietening, the way we quieten ourselves down when we're getting ready for bed, or if you're with a child who's agitated, you know, you're looking for, what are the ways I can just help ground and soften and allow that relaxation to happen, and that sense of, you know, grounded to the earth. and getting out of the busy head syndrome.
Yes, that rings a bell, let's just say.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I think all these practices that you share, they sound like a very effective toolkit, not just for COVID times, but to deal with, you know, stresses and anxieties of our modern lives. You know, how do we really move from reacting to a bad situation to a more thought out response, especially when we see that the pandemic has brought into focus that how interconnected we are as a world, and reactions and responses really matter for the entire ecosystem.
Yes, absolutely.
Wonderful. And there is an interesting quote I just read just yesterday, and I thought it's really apt here, that there is, in Sanskrit, there's a shloka which translates to this. There is only one difference in the spelling of the words chinta, which is the word for stress, and chitta, the word for the funeral pyre, which is just an extra dot. So the pyre burns the dead body, but the stress burns down your whole life, or basically a living body. So I thought that was very interesting that we have such a shloka in one of the ancient texts.
Absolutely. And I just on that note, every single day, you know, throughout the day, I have just such deep respect for the practices of yoga and, you know, for India. And I studied quite a lot during my time there, and I visited a lot of the yoga centers around India, and met some of the, you know, great teachers. And I remember when I first came to yoga, I was at university and I was very, very stressed, and I was caught up in my mind. And I remember the teacher, who was an Iyengar teacher, said, you are not your mind. And I was like, whoa, you know, you don't have to believe everything your mind thinks. And it was like such a relief. And every time I heard any of those teachings, it was like, this is makes sense. This is how I completely understand and see the world. And so I feel so lucky over the years to have even just scratched the surface on all the different aspects of yoga practice. And of course, I mean, yoga, Hatha yoga is just a small, slim part of it, but all the different teachings and all the stories and all the great poets and all the different traditions. I've learned so much from that, and I'm forever grateful. And whenever I feel stressed or anything like that too, I'll often find one of the quotes that I've written down from one of the yoga teachers that I've studied with, and it completely shifts my understanding, and I can shift from feeling, you know, isolated and disconnected to, you know, remembering to melt in into sensing myself as part of something bigger, and a sense of allowing the support to happen, listening to the inner wisdom, listening to those around, and being able to take myself from this, you know, it's about me, into a sense of the whole. How do I approach the world in a way of feeling, how can I be of service? How can I connect? How can I you know, give back to the world that's given me so much? So I one of the things that images that came up too, I often talk about, you know, an athlete, someone who is working at a very high level, they can be stressed, they can be very but they learn this mind training, ways of tuning in to finding support and seeing themselves, having a vision of seeing themselves coming to this place of deep integration within their being, of being able to, if they're a team member, of being able to move the ball in a smooth and easy way. So they're coming almost to that space of stillness, even in immense movement. And I often think really that's the training yogis we go through too, of instead of being scattered and letting our attention, it's a discipline of learning you know, making a dedication to every morning as I wake up, you know, what's my intention for the day? What do I want to bring? And how do I want to, you know, use the day? And, you know, even looking back on my life, you know, how was I able to move through this world? And was I able to give back? So, you know, again, everything I've learned, I'm just so grateful and love all the different stories of India. And I'm always reflecting back on that. And even I love the way you brought up, you know, the different Sanskrit words. There's always so much we can learn from, you know, the Sanskrit words and all the deeper meanings.
Right. No, that's wonderful. And I think they also say yoga takes you closer to your true nature. So I think yes. We are all on that path and are with that, we're striving for that. And we are all together in this journey. So I would like to really thank you for giving us this holistic perspective on how to deal with anxiety in a powerful way and how to keep our equanimity in these challenging times. And I'm confident our listeners would be able to better appreciate these tools and really put them into practice for their own well-being. So thank you so much, Saraswati, for your time. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you. Just a wonderful, great privilege to talk with you. And as always, it's just a joy. So thank you so much, Shruti.
Thank you so much, Saraswati. This was wonderful.